Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Local Hour. A new year is underway, and we're talking all things EKU sports with a special guest, Isaiah Cozart from EKU Men's Hoops, will join us tonight as well. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Local Hour.
McKinney looks, steps into pocket, throws, open receiver, touchdown! Colonels, we're not done yet!
Our identity is we're going to press for 40 minutes, we're going to play up-tempo, we're going to play with unbelievable passion, and then our brand is the most exciting 40 minutes in sports.
Welcome in to an all-new edition of the Sports Stove Local Hour presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. It's time to join the flavor revolution, and you can do it at righteousfelon.com using the promo code STOVE15. That's STOVE15 at checkout. You're going to get 15% off your purchase. Well, welcome into an all-new 2024 edition of the Sports Stove Local Hour. I'm Vince Stover, joined as I am each Monday by Ryan Jackson from EKU Football. How you doing, Ryan?
Doing all right. New year, so I'm excited.
New year. Let's see. We haven't talked since before Christmas. We took a couple weeks off of the program and everything like that. So how was the holidays, Christmas and New Year and all that good stuff?
Christmas was great. I got to come home, see the fam. I got to surprise my dad with a gift because they love raving on and on about how we didn't get them all that much last year. So had to surprise him with a big grill. So he ended up cranking that out towards the New Year's, and it was honestly really fun. It was good. Got to sit down, play some cards, see some family I haven't seen in a while.
That's always a great time. And you know, I know it's neat for you. I'm sure I think back to that time in my life, your age and nearing the end of the college and all that good stuff and adulthood. I mean, you're already an adult, but real adulthood is right around the corner, where you've got to get up and go to work every day and all that good stuff. But I'm curious, do you feel like the older that you get, do you begin to miss is not the right word, cherish, I guess, the family time a little bit more than maybe a decade ago?
Definitely. Ever since I started coming to college in 2020, it's been less and less times I get to come home, but I also have nothing to just run home to. I love seeing my family and all that, but I have a life in Richmond too now. Now that it's kind of hard balancing both, but I do cherish all the family time. I miss all the times where we go out, see all the Christmas lights, and yeah, we still get to do it, but it used to be more often. So yeah. I definitely do miss all those times.
Yeah, it's funny. And where you're from, that's where we used to go look at Christmas lights, and different places around Nashville and different things, and there was always like, now that you've said that, I hadn't thought about that, but now that you said that, I'm like, oh man, yeah, I miss those days as well. And of course now I've got my own family, kids, all that kind of stuff too, so that jumps in. But Christmas is always a good time. It's one of our favorite holidays, and a chance to hang out, and then New Year's too. I mean, we had went over to some friends' house for New Year's and played games all night and had a good time. Actually, let's see, I think we got home around 2:30 this morning from the friend's house, and hadn't done that in a while, needless to say, but it was a lot of fun. We had a good time with it and enjoyed spending time with family. And really, these last 2 weeks gave me a lot of chance to prepare for the new year, for what's going on with the podcast, as well as other things in life too. But I actually had more time, especially over the last week, to just spend some time working on things because of being off of work for Christmas and things like that as well. So it's been a relaxing time at the very least in the Stover household, and it's been a lot of fun. And it also gave me a chance to look back a little bit at 2023. And I'm a big fan of the new year. I always love the new year. To me, there's that, there's a revitalization of all kinds of things that just come in, and it's kind of like, okay, now we're refocused. Okay, we're going to get things started off right. All that good stuff. I exercised today for the first time in a long time, and those kinds of things. And I know it's the first of the year. Everybody does it the first of the year, but trying just to be a better person, a better me in the new year, things like that. But I started looking back at the podcast and looking at what we've been able to accomplish. The Sports Stove, I've got three shows. So we've got the Fantasy Baseball Show, which is starting back up on the 14th. I've got the original Sports Stove podcast, which is on Wednesday nights with my dad. And we've got the local hour here where we're covering the EKU stuff. And so this year in 2023, we were able to surpass 11,000 downloads on the year, which we're really excited about. That's growth and going forward is a wonderful thing. In the month of December alone, we had almost 800 audio downloads. And I did not look at the YouTube downloads on that one for just the month, but it's been a really good month here to close out the year. Our highest downloaded YouTube video for the local hour was the one titled Ryan Jackson's Debut. It was your first show with us as co-host on the Sports Stove, the highest YouTube viewed local hour episode that we had. Let's see here. The highest audio podcast episode for the year was back in April. We had outfielder DJ Sullivan and pitcher Chase the Ace Alderman on the show. And then since you've been on the program, our highest audio download was Jeremy Edwards' episode when Jeremy came on the show and talked. And then that's through. So the way that I do it, we've got YouTube, we've got the Apple, Spotify, all that good stuff. And then I also put all our episodes in another podcast playlist, I guess, called Belly Up and Friends. Belly Up is the network that we're a part of. And so our episodes stream on there also. And the highest download from Belly Up and Friends was our interviews with Alice and Michael Moreno just a couple weeks ago. For the year as well. So we've had a really good year. And you know, Ryan, you've been a big part of that. And I've really appreciated your help with it because I go back and listen. I don't listen to every episode, but I go back and listen to several just to kind of self critique my how I'm doing and things like that. And it's just so fun to listen to the insight that you're able to give, especially in the football program, but even in the university as a whole. And having that here for our show is something relatively unique. And so it's been a blast having you around and getting that insight and hearing your stories and all that kind of stuff has been fun. And I know the listeners have really enjoyed having you around as well because it's added something to the program for sure. So I want to know your thoughts on when you started back in the summer doing the show. To the end of the year, was it what you expected? And has it been, how has it been different than I guess what maybe you thought it would be?
Yeah, this is definitely a little bit more than I was expecting to do. But I appreciate everything that I've gotten the chance to. I definitely thought this was just going to be more of a, like a learning how to do the podcast thing or the, cause it's something I want to do in my future careers. But the more and more I got comfortable on camera, the more and more I got comfortable asking questions, the more and more confident I felt talking. And I've always been a talker. I've always had stories and I think I just got more and more comfortable doing this. And this has made leaps and bounds to what could be in my career. Cause I love doing this. This has honestly been so much fun. And especially getting to talk about a place that I love, a place I made my home 4 years ago, and it's still my home now, Eastern. And I love the chance to represent the university, and I love the chance to represent myself and our community and show it off in a positive light. So this has all been a blessing for me, and this is I love to keep doing it. I love that you've given me this chance and you've given me this platform to talk on. So I do appreciate you.
Man, I tell you, it's I was so excited when you first reached out and the idea of, hey, you know, start with the summer and figure out, you know, just learn some things or whatever. And we talked and it turned into this. And I tell you, it's made the show better. And it's actually kind of changed the way I do all my shows to a degree, actually. Now, just with making sure I always have somebody else on with me. Because I know listening to one guy talk for an hour is never that fun. So having multiple voices, and then again, the insight is phenomenal and fun as well. And so I'm glad you've had fun with it. I'm glad it isn't something that's a drag, anything like that. Let's talk about now as the page turns to 2024, it's still the same school year. So you're still in the same school year, finishing up everything for the, you know, you getting into second semester and all that kind of stuff. What does it look like for the football players returning back in January?
We got a big meeting on the 14th where we'll get to see the team and who all shows up. But other than that, we'll start workouts later on that week, and we'll just keep it moving from there. We'll get started back to ground zero for us, and you start building your relationships around this time and trying to get to know each other better, trying to figure out what we can improve on for the upcoming season.
And, you know, it's funny. I've been watching as carefully as I can with the transfer portal. Nothing too earth-shattering, nothing too surprising. But saw your buddy Nick. He ended up moving on. He ends up signing with to D2 school. There it is. Lenore Ryan. Yeah, that's what you just said. You know, you hate to see guys like that go, guys that have been around, friends of yours, I know. But obviously, you go and you watch the bowl game the other day with Iowa State, and you see Jaden Higgins just go off. 9 catches, 214 yards, and a touchdown. That's just the bowl game, by the way. His whole season, he had 6 touchdowns, almost 1,000 yards, 53 catches. So you see those guys, you know, obviously you wish the best for them as they move on and things like that. But when you look at guys like Nick stepping away, friends of yours that you've been around, that meeting on the 14th, obviously you're aware of who's around and things like that for the most part, but what's it like walking in for the first time to the entire team being together and there not being guys that you're used to seeing around?
It's kind of like a big family reunion. It seems like we should go out and have a cookout after, but it's cool seeing new faces, new people. And then you see some of your same old friends that you're like, whoa, you're still, no, I'm messing with you. You don't really do that unless you're petty like me. But it's good you feel an energy. Yeah. And we have a good culture on our team. We have a good standard on our team to where that energy resonates throughout the whole place. And it's a good, comforting environment. And it just makes people want to come back. And it makes people want to go to Richmond. And for all the people that left, it's awesome to see when they do great things, because you're like, yes, they went through the same issues we did. They went through the same pain we had to go through, and they extended it on to the next level. Like, I'm happy Nick didn't go to Gardner-Webb so I can still cheer for him.
Yeah,
at least. But I would say it's a better energy when everybody comes back.
Yeah. Of course, Josiah continues to get recognition. He's been named to pretty much every All-American team you can get named to. And next up for him really is that opportunity to go show what he's got with some other guys and get this bowl opportunity and show off for the scouts and all that kind of stuff as well. How much do you try to keep in contact with those kind of guys that are on the progress of making their next step?
Oh, I try and keep close tabs on all of them, because obviously that's a goal for me too. So yeah. I want to see how they climb the ropes and how they get there. But, especially for a guy like Josiah, like I said when he was on the podcast, the sky's the limit for him. He can only get better from here, from where he starts, because he just started playing O-line not too long ago. So he only gets better from here. But guys like TK, Matt, Willie, I still see them or try and get in contact with them every now and then. Yeah. It might be a little too Hollywood for me now, but I still try.
Oh, man. The high school guys signed officially, finally. You know, some interesting names and, a lot of local kids, Carpenter, the quarterback from Douglas, Hensley, the running back from LCA, Schlarman, from Lexington Catholic. So there's a lot of local kids coming up, a few guys from out of town as well. The name that's caught a lot of attention in the, social media world, I guess, is Quade Luganville, with his dad being, ESPN, working at ESPN and doing college football stuff and everything. He's a long snapper. 4-star long snapper, by the way, coming in. I've listened to a lot of stuff with his dad talking about over the last couple of weeks and stuff too. and his dad played at EKU as well. There's a couple guys whose dads were at EKU. So I think one of them, maybe the Eberhardt kid, I don't remember. One of them whose dad, I think, played basketball and not football, but was at EKU also. So those guys will be in. Do you know how many of those guys are coming in this semester or summer or anything like that?
I unfortunately don't know.
Yeah, so if you walk in the meeting on the 14th, you see some kid that looks like he's 12, you'll figure that's probably the high school kid.
Must be a freshman.
It's going to be fun to see how things shake out. We'll be paying attention throughout the spring and the summer, of course, as well, and be interested to see as the depth chart is going to get shook up a little bit. I'm keeping a tally of all the guys that are still there and kind of the depth that's there. And there's a lot of positions open right now for competition. I'm sure Coach would say every position's open for competition, right? But and maybe more so this year than ever with Parker finally being gone. Literally every position is a little bit more open. But that being said, it's going to be a lot of fun. At this point, I think only one transfer portal signee has been announced. I know there's going to be more than that they get done. But so far as adding guys for the portal, I believe it's only one that's been announced, and they're still after guys, and I know they're after some guys with some experience and things like that. So we'll see how it all goes, and excited to see how that shakes down. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some EKU women's basketball and the success they've had so far. And a little bit later in the program, EKU men's basketball player Isaiah Cozart is going to join the program as well. But first, let's take a quick break and hear a word about Righteous Felon Jerky. Say hello to America's most wanted craft beef jerky. Over 15 flavors with all kinds of character. The number one jerky gift box and all natural black Angus quality made right here in the U.S. of A. Taste the flavor revolution at RighteousFelon.com. Use the promo code STOVE15 at checkout. That's RighteousFelon.com. Promo code STOVE15 at checkout. Well, welcome back into the Sports Stove Local Hour presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. Again, you can go to righteousfelon.com, use the promo code STOVE15, you get 15% off your purchase. Let's talk a little women's hoops right now. I'd originally hoped to get one of the girls on the program tonight. It is their off day today. And so we're not able to work that out, but man, these girls are still rolling and rolling very, very smoothly, as a matter of fact. So they have another win. They're 11-3 on the year, 6-0 at home. Their two losses, came to the number 4 team in the nation, Utah and, Tennessee and, Chattanooga. They lost to Chattanooga as well. So they're 4-3, I guess, so the one technically is not the road. It was a neutral site. So that's why it gets put as that. But anyways, two-game win streak right now. They won at SEMO on the 19th, and they beat Samford on the 29th. Next up, though, is conference play. How much does the mindset change at conference play? Because obviously, you're going into every game. You're ready to compete. You're prepared for it all. But what changes when you get to conference play?
Conference play is definitely a lot more intense because you feel like the games matter a whole lot more. And it's kind of like having a mini rivalries with each team because, you know, a win right here could set us up in the future for other things. And I know in football, since we only play them once, I don't know how it is in basketball. It's very intense, and those are must-win games and very important games.
These girls, well, first of all, they've been rolling all year, but they've recently added two more girls to getting time. And one of those is one we've talked about with a few people that have been on the show, Nakia Thompson. She's playing now. She was injured, and so she had not been on the court. She's been playing over the last 4 or 5 games now. And then Caitlin Costner, who is an Ohio State transfer, and she was going to have eligibility issues. And that's really the reason why she's at EKU is EKU offered her in spite of that. And the other schools that were chasing her, who, by the way, are some of the top teams, especially in the ASUN conference, They were very interested in her, but they weren't willing to offer her because of the eligibility issues. So Coach Todd says, hey, we'll take you. And Caitlin Koster comes on campus. She gets the approval to play, and now she's been playing for the last four or five games as well. And so that just adds that much more firepower. Antoinette Walker got her 1,000th point in her college career recently as well. And like I said, they get into conference play this week. They're going to have three road games to start the conference, which is an interesting aspect to the schedule as well. But they'll get tested very early on here in the conference. They go to Lipscomb, then Austin Peay, and then Bellarmine for their first three conference games. Two of those are this week, Thursday and Saturday, at Lipscomb and then at Austin Peay. Their first home game in the conference will be Thursday, January the 18th, and they'll follow that up January the 20th on a Saturday against North Alabama, which I believe the guys are home on that Saturday also. I think that's a doubleheader there at home, but I could be wrong on that. But these girls are doing amazing things. They're out there playing incredibly well, and, you know, you were here when Coach Wells came in, and you got to see him take over the program and begin to implement things within the program. Coach Todd now is in his third season at EKU. And what he's been able to do in that short amount of time, because he came in like, was it June or July, I think. And so, like, he had no time to get ready for that first one, recruit, you know, all that kind of stuff. So you're talking about only two full years in the program. To have them running at 11-3, they competed with Tennessee. I mean, they lost by 9. They were right there with Tennessee. And it's I'm interested. What do you think it's like for Coach Todd being in that transition phase to now starting to be solidified in what he's doing?
It's probably easy when you have a player like Antoinette on your team for starters. But from all I've heard about Coach Todd, he does a good job of building relations. And building relationships with players is big and key, especially when you build relationships with players that will be building blocks for your program going forward. So when he came in, obviously he made relationships with girls like Alice, Fox, and even some of the girls on last year's team. And that has helped him continue to have a hold on the culture of a team. And if you can get a good standard and a good culture going throughout a team, the sky's the limit, especially if you can get more talent and more people bought into a program. So he obviously has a great motive and a great way to get people to buy in to his program.
I agree 100%. Antoinette leads the team in scoring. She's only played 10 of the 14 games, and she has 44 more points than the next person on the team. She's averaging just over 20 points a game. Ivy Turner, who we've talked about on this program as well, she's next in scoring at 11, just over 11 points a game. Alice there at 10. And Bree, who's coming back from injury and has played really solid basketball this year, is fourth on the team, just over almost 9 points a game. Rebounding, though, it's Sierra McAuliffe, and we've had her on the show. We talked with her before. She is too shy of 100 on the season. She's averaging just under 9 rebounds a game, 8.9 rebounds a game right now. And then Antoinette's right there, too. She's at 6.3. And then Jasmine McGinnis-Taylor is next down there at 4.6 as well. And I think we've talked about it. Anytime we've had a guest on from the girls' team, we've talked about just the toughness that's there this year and having the size to go with the mentality. In the past, they haven't had the size to go with the mindset. They had the mindset, not the size. Now they got the size to go with it. And, boy, has it paid dividends for this team as well. Three-point shooting, let's see here. Antoinette, she's 19 of 51. That's 37% from the field. Now, Caitlin Koster leads the team at 50%, but she's 2 of 4. So she's just getting started. But Antoinette leading the team in three-point shooting, which is just not something she did in the past. She was a mid-range shooter. She's stepping back a little bit this year. Ivy Turner there at almost 36%. As well. So the shooting is really solid as a team. They're shooting 32% from the three-point line, which isn't horrible. You'd like to be in that 34 range probably, but right there is where they need to be. And we'll talk with Coz about this in a minute, but the guys team, that's where they've really hurt, is they haven't been hitting those three-point shots. They've been shooting low percentage there and the free throw line as well. So those are the kind of things that they've got to get better with. The girls are doing it. And so I want to continue to encourage people to come out, cheer on the girls and make sure you let them know that you want to be there, that you are there. And 11-3 to start this season with tournament, or not tournament, but conference play starting this week. Make sure you come out and support those ladies and the Colonels. All right, we're going to take another commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk EKU men's hoops with the one and only Isaiah Cozart. First, a word from All Around Roofing. Does the exterior of your home need a facelift? All Around Roofing has you covered. All Around Roofing is a veteran-owned company servicing Madison County and Central Kentucky. From roof repairs and replacements to gutters, sidings, windows, soffits, chimney flashings, and so much more, All Around Roofing provides quality work and friendly service that will leave your house looking great. Go visit allaroundroofingky.com. That's allaroundroofingky.com for more information. Welcome back into the Sports Stove Local Hour presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. Remember, go to righteousfelon.com. Use that promo code STOVE15 at checkout to get 15% off your purchase. Joining us and now on the program is EKU big man, the one and only Isaiah Cozart. Hey, Coz, how you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, man, thanks for being with us today. Fresh off of quite the challenge at Purdue. I talked with Coach Hamilton at the beginning of the year, and I said, hey, man, you sure scheduled an easy non-conference schedule. not quite the case, though. How's the experience going not only to a place like Purdue, but playing against a guy like Zach Edey, who's you know, pretty popular right now?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely unique, for sure. Playing in their gym, you know, there's nothing like it. I mean, they have one of the best gyms, college basketball in the country right now. I think, you know, especially the atmosphere at their place was, you know, it was crazy. There was sold out, you know, night stuff. So obviously, you know, we all had to, we all knew we had to come in and give it our all for sure. But it was definitely fun.
Have you ever played against a guy with as much accolades as Zach Edey had?
Not in recent memory. No, I can't really think of anybody that played against that was has been the accolades or was as tall as that dude.
Now, you held him 13 points, 7 boards. With your individual performance, obviously the outcome wasn't what you guys had hoped for, but were you able to sit back and go, you know what, I'm kind of proud of the way that I handled that.
I mean, yeah, we, you know, the game plan was, you know, just to keep from catching as many, you know, as many basketballs as possible. You know, we knew that going in, it was definitely going to be a hard challenge. But, you know, I trusted the coach and, you know, my team to help me out whenever I needed it. You know, especially trying to get around them is definitely the most difficult part of it. So, I mean, I think that, you know, I did my job to the best of my ability. You know, I got my coach and everybody else to thank for that.
What does playing a difficult non-conference schedule like that, Alabama, Purdue, including with other games, how does that help you guys prepare for what's ahead with conference play?
I think it's going to give us – I think it's definitely going to help us prepare a lot. I mean, you know, although some of the games aren't how, you know, the outcome isn't what we wanted, I think that in terms of the learning experience and just, you know, playing, you know, those types of games, you know, at that level, I think it's definitely going to help us going into the conference to, you know, keep at that level and keep at that level of play. I think a lot of the guys on the team are gaining a lot of confidence right now, especially playing against that type of talent and still performing. So I think we'll be good. For sure. I think it's definitely helped us immensely, regardless of the, you know, the wins or the losses.
I just asked Ryan this a few minutes ago when we were talking about conference play. I'd be interested to get your perspective on it. What changes when you get into conference play? Because, again, the prep work, the preparation for individual games, that's going to be the same, generally speaking. But there is something a little different about conference play. How would you describe about what's different once you get into conference play?
I think it's just everybody's more focused, you know, everybody's more locked in because of, you know, how little time you get in between games and, you know, the fact that these games matter more than any other game that's had, you know, that's that we played before. I think, you know, a lot of the guys, especially like, you know, last year were completely, you know, locked in, and, you know, that doesn't, that's not going to change at all this year. I think, you know, once, you know, conference plus we start our first conference game, I mean, it's just going to be, you know, the rest is going to be history. I think, you know, everybody's going to be completely locked in from start to finish for sure. But yeah, the atmosphere is definitely different.
Are you guys able to use this kind of as a reset? I mean, new year, conference play, all that kind of stuff, because before the season, if we were to tell you guys, hey, when you get the conference play, you'll be 4-9, I would guess that you guys probably wouldn't be super excited about that record. But I mean, that doesn't, the record, yes, it matters, but it doesn't at the same time until you get into conference play. So is this kind of a reset for you guys? And what's the mindset going on right now for the team?
I mean, yeah, you know, I think of it as a reset, but also it's just kind of like, I think the mindset right now is just that now's the time to really, you know, excel. Now's the time to really, you know, play and, you know, and to really be locked in, because, you know, these are the games that really matter when it comes to, you know, the overall record in the season, you know. And you know, our coach, he believes in us despite the record, despite what, you know, everybody's saying about us now. I mean, I think, you know, I've never seen him, you know, have more faith in us than right now. So, I mean, it definitely gives a lot of the guys on the team, you know, it definitely inspires them for sure, that our coach isn't going to just, you know, give up and, you know, quit on us. And I mean, I'm definitely not going to quit on him. So,
yeah. Ryan, what you got for Big Coz?
Speaking of AW, since I love y'all's coach real well, what's your favorite AW quote?
Favorite AW quote? Oh, man, there's a lot. I'm not going to lie. There's a lot. I'd have to think about it. I can't. Yeah, I definitely have to think about it for sure.
Family friendly episode, so you can't maybe not be able to completely quote, you know, quote from A-Dub.
Yes, it's going to take me a little while, but I'll get back to you on that one.
While you're thinking on that, your relationship with Coach. I mean, you know, you came in as a transfer. I'm sure he had talked to you when you were in the recruiting process out of high school and things like that. But it seems like you and Coach have a really, really good relationship and a pretty close bond. How have you guys been able to build that relationship since you've been here?
Well, honestly, the relationship started back when I was when I was going out of high school and into college, you know, and they were recruiting me and stuff. And, you know, back then I was, you know, we were more just like acquaintances. It was more like a coach recruit type relationship. But I did, you know, I really liked his vibe, and I liked how he liked to predict the future and, you know, what was going to happen and what we were going to do for you. I really liked that. But after I, you know, went to WKU, we kind of lost contact a little bit, but he always kept up with it. What I noticed is he always kept up with my mom and, you know, my people and stuff. So, you know, that definitely, you know, meant something to me back then. So after, you know, I transferred and I went to EKU, the relationship only got better. I mean, you know, I no matter what day I was having, good or bad, I don't think he ever gave up on me in any type of way, or ever, you know, just kind of stopped trying to coach me, stopped trying to teach me, even though, you know, I hadn't been playing for so many years. So, I mean, he was definitely taking a chance for sure. But I think that's why our relationship's so good. Cause you know, it was really based around faith at the beginning, and it just kind of worked out in the end.
I was talking with him this summer, and he kept going back to that postseason tournament last year. And he talks about how, man, you're just what the team was able to see you were capable of in that, was a CBI tournament last year, and the confidence that you were just showing now as a result of that. I mean, you were putting up what, 20, 30 points a game, something like that in that tournament. Is that something you envision wanting to do as being that part of your contribution to the team? Or is that something that maybe even kind of took you by a little bit of surprise as well.
I mean, I always wanted to do that. I mean, you know, even sitting on the bench at Western, I always wanted to be like, you know, that guy again, you know, to score and stuff. But I also knew, like, you know, in terms of my team, I also knew I had to produce in other ways, like on the defensive end and stuff like that. So, I mean, definitely in the CBI, but then it definitely did kind of, it was kind of surprising that I was, you know, it not surprising to me because I always knew I could do it, but just kind of surprising that it happened at that time in the CBI when we were in the tournament, that I was, you know, getting so many points and stuff. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I definitely really knew I could do it.
You talked about the contributions on the other side of the court, 57 blocks on the season so far this year. And, you know, everybody comes in and goes, oh, Big Coach. I mean, that's part of your nickname, Big Coach. Yeah, you're a big dude. I'm not saying you're not, but it's not like you're Zach Edey. It's not like you're 7 foot, you know, four or anything like that as well.
I wish.
Yeah, right. But you got good length to you and everything like that. Talk to me about the art of blocking shots, because there's more to it than just sticking your hand up in the air.
Yeah. I get that question a lot, you know, like how, especially at like my size, like how, you know, I block so many shots and stuff. And I mean, I've always, you know, been a shot, but I always feel, it feels like a cop out, because I always tell people, like, it's, I've just kind of been naturally good at timing and having a really long wingspan and stuff to help me with blocking shots. So, you know, I always kind of feel bad saying, well, you know, it's just something that I'm just good at. But no, I mean, there's a lot of timing to it. You know, I mean, there's plenty of times that I've missed time blocks and it just, you know, laid me or just, you know, went to the basket and scored and stuff. And there's plenty of other times where I timed it up right and still got the blocks. I mean, it's definitely not all about like athleticism and stuff like people say, where you just jump up and swat it. There's a little bit more to it.
Ryan, you're on the defensive line and you're trying to pat down some passes as well, get some blocks down there on the D line as well. Probably similar, right? You've had to work on your timing aspect of all that and leverage and different things, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot to do with timing and anticipation and just getting a good read on it. But he's much better than I am. Josh, even though I will say at Friendship Christian Middle School, we ran a 2-3 zone. All I did was block shots. That was it. But I do have to ask about one individual performance game you had a while ago. Speaking of your blocks, when did you realize you would have a triple-double?
That's a funny story, because I didn't realize in game. I wasn't even trying to shoot for it. In fact, I didn't even know until like after the interviews and stuff that was the first triple double in like EKU history. So I was floored. I was like, dang, I didn't, out of all people, I didn't think I was the last person on my list to get a triple double. But that was definitely a good feeling for sure. I mean, I knew I had a lot of blocks that game for sure, but I didn't know I had a full on triple double.
And is there typically someone who will kind of keep guys informed of stats, or does that not happen in games?
You know, we got to ask. I mean, there's definitely a couple people that are definitely keep track of stats. Sometimes I do catch myself asking, but I usually like to, you know, just kind of play the game. Not worry about all that.
Yeah, I've got a kid on my team right now that'll come over in the middle of a game and be like, coach, I think I got like 4 steals, man. I'm like, good. Go get another one. But I know that it's there's so much going on during your guys' games, and I was curious about that. Kind of that go. Talk to me about your team. All right. So you got a lot of guys that came back this year, of course. And like I said, the record isn't what you guys want it to be, but there's definitely signs that it can be something still really, really special as you get into conference play. Let's start with the old guys and Michael Moreno. You know, Mike's been around, and he's set a 3-point record this year for EKU as well. You know, talked about the steadiness that Mike brings to the team.
Oh, yeah. Mike's a good guy, man. Yeah, he definitely brings a lot of steady. Ever since, honestly, I think he's taken up that leader role more now. Ever since Cooper Robb left, I feel like he's kind of filled in that gap that Cooper Robb, you know, kind of left, at least in terms of like speaking up and, you know, making sure everybody's flowing right and, you know, how the team's going and stuff and, you know, what plays, asking what plays to run in and make sure everybody understands stuff. So, you know, I think I have zero worries about Mike going in the conference, just absolutely zero. I think, you know, he's going to flourish for sure. Especially now that, you know, we have, we're kind of the underdogs officially now. So I think he's definitely going to take that to heart and go to work.
And you got Tay-Tay, who's out there. He just does his thing every single game. He's kind of a stat filler to some degree as well. And he's out there just balling out always. But he seems maybe a little bit more of a quieter guy versus vocal. Is that true?
He can be quiet, but in practice, nah. Like, he's definitely vocal in practice, 100%. But yeah, he's definitely more on the quieter side, like I am. But you know, it shows in his game because he can get a quiet 20 almost every night, and you would never know about it. So it's, you know, it's insane. You know, he's an amazing player. You know, I think again, he's gonna absolutely zero worries about him in conference. I'm comforted at the fact that he's, you know, he plays the three this year because he just goes down to the post and just bodies up and shoots a little jumper and makes it. And I don't have to worry about getting the rebound or anything. This is just run down the opposite floor. So be good.
Yeah, his shooting percentage is pretty solid for sure. Then you got Leland and Tayshaun. These guys just bring attitude, energy, swag. All that good stuff to the team as well. And it seems like them being together just adds to the fun that could be had on that team. How much growth have you seen from those guys? You could throw in Turner in that group as well. I mean, just having these young guys now having a full year under their belt.
Oh, a lot. I mean, you know, one of the smartest moves Coach made was having T-Don and Leland guard each other. In practice every day, you know, they just make each other better. They go at each other. They talk trash constantly to each other in practice. And I mean, it excels both of their games, you know, it takes both of their games to another level. So, you know, and Turner has made leaps and strides from last year too. Especially, you know, his three is always going to be there obviously, but you know, just in terms of like being a playmaker, passer, you know, driver on the college level, it's, you know, it's crazy to see his growth. So, I mean, our guards are definitely going to bring it come conference time as well.
Yeah. And we're not going to talk about all the players on the team and someone might be mad about that, but I mean, you got John and you got DJ and you got Colin, all these guys, but the last guy I want to talk about is Montavious, because late in the summer, we got the news that DK was not going to come back. I had an opportunity to make some money and probably wisely took that opportunity, but it kind of put a little hit on the depth at bigs, and Montavious comes in and he's been filling that role. It seems like pretty decent. How do you feel about the depth of the big guys for the team going into conference?
Yeah. I mean, I have all respect to Mont cause he's, he had a really big job, especially, you know, coming in, like, right at the end of the summer session. So, you know, not after, you know, all of the guys have spent around like 2 months with each other at this time. And Mont comes in, not even having spent a day with us and having to catch up very fast, you know, rapidly. But I think he's done, you know, an excellent job catching up and stuff. You know, I'm not, you know, it's excited to see. I'm excited to see his improvement. And, you know, I think he definitely he had the hardest job out of anybody on the team trying to catch up and trying to fill in that role as well as a big, and also stepping, because I thought he was used to playing the four, and stepping up and playing the five was also a challenge. So I mean, he took that all in stride, and you know, I think he's better for it for sure.
All right, Ryan, what else you got for Isaiah?
I got one more. Go into your dad's church and having your dad come talk to us every now and then. I have to ask, how much has he helped you in your process? Because he's helped me many times just with his many lessons he comes and delivers to the football team. So yep. How has he helped in your life?
My dad is my biggest supporter. I know, and I'm just lucky that he is, because a lot of people can't say that, you know, about their dads, unfortunately, but I'm just lucky that he, you know, that he was, you know, not only just around, but also just kind of, you know, supporting me no matter, you know, where I went or what I decided. He said if I turned out to be a soccer player, he would have been right there on the field. Thankfully I didn't, but I'm just saying. but no, he's been a huge support and stuff just throughout all the years that I've been playing. You know, thank you's not enough. I don't know where I'd be without the guy.
Coz, last thing I've got for you, with you being a veteran player and things like that, the transfer portal is so prevalent, things like that. You've experienced it coming to EKU. What advice do you give, or do you give advice to guys, you know, at the end of last season who were considering what they were going to do? Did you have any advice to share or wisdom that you can share with guys that trying to figure out what's best for them? You know, Ryan says it. Ryan's dad is prevalent all over Twitter saying it. Play where they love you. Those kinds of things. But with your experience in the, you know, making the transfer, did you have any advice for the guys that decided to come back ultimately this year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, at least for are you asking me like what my advice is for, you know, people transferring or just?
Yeah, just generally. Yeah, just generally.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'd say main thing is like at the end of the day, it's your decision. You know, nobody can change that except you. There are people that can convince you. There are people that can talk to you about it. But at the end of the day, you're the one that's transferring. I just say just, you know, go with your heart. Go with, you know, the place that makes you, that you know will make you, you know, the best player you can be, or at least go somewhere that makes you happy. You know, I stuck it out for 3 years at Western, and, you know, unfortunately it didn't work out. So, you know, coming here, I knew, especially with the vibe of coach and, you know, the coaching staff and all the players he was bringing in, I knew it was going to be, you know, the kind of right fit for me. You know, even though there was a lot of uncertainty, I knew, like, you know, in my heart that I was going to be able to at least have a chance here. So, I mean, you know, that's my advice is, you know, at the end of the day, you know, this, you always got to remember that it's your decision to make.
I love it, man. Have you been able to think of any A-Dub quotes and during the conversation?
It's going blank.
We'll come back to it another time.
Yeah, I'm definitely not doing it to avoid running. That's not the reason.
Oh, don't worry. A-Dub says he listens to the show, but I know he doesn't. Coz, we appreciate you coming on and taking time for us today. Conference play starts on Thursday. Lipscomb is in town. I believe it's Lipscomb, right? Yep. In town on Thursday. And looking forward to conference play getting started and you guys being able to get back on track now as well. And congrats on your success. And congrats on the success that is to come, and good luck the rest of the way as well. But Isaiah, we really do appreciate you coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. It's Isaiah Cozart from EKU Men's Hoops. And we're going to conclude the show here in 1 minute. But first, a quick word from IPM Piston Termite.
With over 20 years of experience, Matt Schaefer and the good folks at locally owned IPM Piston Termite provides pest control service for all of Central Kentucky's pest control needs. Whether you have a current pest control problem or want to prevent infestation from ever entering your home, IPM Piston Termite offers maintenance programs that will help keep pests out of your home and provide peace of mind. So for dependable, reliable services that you can count on, get in touch with our good friend Matt Schaefer at IPM Piston Termite today at myipm.com. That's myipm.com.
All right, welcome back into the local hour from the Sports Stove podcast. What a fun conversation with Isaiah. We've had him on the show a couple times since he's been at EKU, and I think that was a lot of fun. Great conversation with Coz, and appreciate his sincerity and honesty along the way as well. So here's what we got coming up down the road here from the local hour. We'll cover basketball, of course, all the way through the basketball season. We'll continue to try to get some of the ladies on and talk about that. But baseball season's right around the corner. First baseball game is February the 16th. So in the coming weeks, we're going to be doing some baseball previews, similar to what we did in football. The plan, at least, is to do some positional previews, kind of infield, outfield, pitching, things like that. Have some of the coaching staff on. Of course, Coach Pro is always a lot of fun to have on the program. So we're going to get some guys on the program. We'll be previewing baseball in the next couple weeks, as well as keeping you up to date on basketball and any football news that comes down the pipeline. We will be here to share it with you as well. Ryan, any closing thoughts on this episode before we head out?
Happy New Year, everybody. Hope y'all set good resolutions and stick to them.
Yes, now that's the part right there. Stick to them. Do you have any New Year's resolutions, Ryan?
Just to be better.
Just to be better. That's a solid
New Year, same me, just be better.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's kind of the same thing. I kind of refocused on some things. I think probably to be a little bit more intentional on some things is big for me. And, you know, we're getting ready to enter into our second half of our basketball season as well. And we've had a rough first half. And so we're kind of just getting refocused and just trying to be more intentional on some things as well. So that'll be good. But I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Just to let everybody know, starting January the 14th, every Sunday at 8 p.m., I'll have the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. We'll be doing rankings and all that kind of stuff, MLB news, all that kind of stuff. Every Sunday night at 8 o'clock, I'm right here on the Sports Stove YouTube channel. You can also catch it on the Belly Up Sports YouTube page as well, or Belly Up Fantasy Sports Facebook page. And then Wednesday night, me and my dad talk sports every Wednesday night. And then the local hour will continue as we get through. It depends, time frames and everything, but as of right now, still every Monday night, but we'll keep you posted on that on social media as well. And you can follow us on social media at Sports Stove on Twitter and Instagram. If you're watching us on YouTube, if you wouldn't mind giving us a little like, you know, maybe a subscribe if you're not subscribed, a little comment helps just the algorithm kind of boost it up a little bit. So anything you can do to help us out, we would surely appreciate it. A big thanks to Righteous Felon Jerky, IPM Pest and Termite, All Around Roofing. Also to Isaiah Cozart and to KB for helping us get that set up also. And, of course, always to Ryan Jackson coming to us all the way from Tennessee tonight and looking forward to having him back in town soon, because I still haven't mailed his jerky to him. It's still in my room. But if you're back in town, I might bring it with me to basketball practice tomorrow. I'll be close to you. Well, I'll get it to you. I still haven't eaten it. That's what's important. I have not eaten the jerky that I promised Ryan. So we'll get it to you nonetheless. All right. Thanks for tuning in to tonight's edition of the Sports Stove Local Hour. Until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.